Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Charity Digital podcast. Here at Charity Digital, we drive the charity sector forward with digital tools and resources. We provide charities with free and discounted tech donated by the world's leading companies. We host skill-building online and in-person interactive events, workshops, webinars, and focus groups. Beside our podcast, we also produce free articles and videos to support the sector. To find out more about how we can help your charity, explore our website at charitiesdigital.org.uk/welcome. Today we're talking about something everyone knows, or thinks they know, and their importance to the defence against cyber threats in the charity sector. Passwords. I say everyone thinks they know because a 2023 report from cybersecurity experts SpecOps revealed that all too many of us still use basic passwords that are easy to crack, even if they meet the general length or character requirements. The report found that the most common base term found in passwords used to breach networks across multiple ports is password. Cyber criminals use these commonly used passwords against a list of usernames to try and gain access to their accounts in a tactic called password spraying that is made all the more effective when people reuse passwords across multiple accounts. But as custodians of huge amounts of sensitive data and funds that are needed to deliver essential services, charities are under a great deal of pressure to ensure that their charity is properly protected against the cyber breach. And proper protection includes that which we're most familiar with, passwords. So today I'm joined by Rick Wilhelm, Chief Technology Officer at the Public Interest Registry, the organisation that looks after the .org domain name, to explore the significance of strong, unique passwords, the role of password managers, and tips for creating and managing passwords effectively. Welcome, Rick.
Thanks, Laura. Great to be here.
So to get us started and give us a brief overview of cybersecurity in the charity sector, why is password management important for charities in particular?
So it's such a great topic and it's so rich, and we could go on and on until all of your listeners would just hit the stop button and put their phones back in their pocket. But we won't today. We'll be short and sharp. Password management is important for charities in particular because, quite simply, charities have several resources that are useful to hackers and other sorts of bad actors. One, quite simply, charities have funds, charities have monies that have been donated by their audience, their benefactors. Sometimes these sums, while they might start out quite small, as we would say, grassroots donations, they can turn into be quite large amounts, hundreds of thousands of pounds, hundreds of thousands of dollars, hundreds of thousands of euros, depending on where you're listening to this. But then also the other thing that charities have, which a lot of people don't realize, is they have personally identifiable information of their donors. And that is also extraordinarily useful to hackers seeking to perform identity theft. Mm-hmm. And so those two resources, money and data, are very valuable to hackers. And so they're going to be doing a lot they can to go get at it.
I think I've read somewhere that 88% of organizations are still using only passwords as their main source of authentication.
Yeah, probably so. And the passwords. And so a lot of us are, what authentication mechanism we use to get into resources, a lot depends on the resource that we're attempting to gain access to. Mm-hmm. For example, if you run a website, whether or not you require what sort of password you require, whether or not you require two-factor authentication, what sort of two-factor authentication you require your users to use, that's up to you. And me as the user, I really don't get a choice in that. But whether or not, as a matter of fact, even if you require a password, is up to you. Me as the user, I don't get a choice in that. I can choose whether or not to use your website, but that's kind of up to you. These days, everywhere require passwords. There's an increasing number of websites that are offering two-factor authentication, but then it's often up to the user to cause themselves to use it. We'll talk more about that in a little bit. But right now, one of the most important things, everyone uses passwords. The biggest thing is to make them long, to make them sufficiently complex that they're not going to be attacked with what are called dictionary attacks. And then also the most important thing is to make them different across sites. across places that you're using them. The same, and this is, it sounds, the thing about making them different across sites, it sounds kind of, at first people like, well, why do I care? But then whenever I'm talking to someone about this, I said, well, you wouldn't have the same door, the same key for a lock on your house as you would on a lock for your office, would you? And people were like, well, and oh, for your car, maybe. And for then the, for your locker at the gym. And people, well, obviously not. Well, that's why sometimes our key rings, you know, grow to be, you know, several centimeters in diameter, right? That sort of a thing. When you have all those keys equals all those responsibilities. So that's why keeping them different is so important.
That's such an interesting way of thinking about it. I love doing these PIR podcasts. I think they're so interesting because we always come out with a different way of thinking about cybersecurity that's really helpful. So that's, and yeah, you wouldn't use a key for the same key for everything. So it makes a lot of sense. So how can charities create and manage their passwords?
So one of the things that I talked about earlier was that them needing to be long, need to be not in the dictionary. Everybody knows about complexity. When we say complexity, we mean, you know, odd characters and things like that. And that's sort of the thing that everybody fears the most, I think. And then having them all be different. And then when you start to contemplate that, you might say, well, Rick, how am I supposed to remember all those? Mm-hmm. And I would say to you, well, you're not, because we're not wired for that sort of thing. Our brains don't work that way. And so that means you need to have a tool to help you, which these days is a piece of password manager software. And these typically are something that would reside on your phone, and then you would unlock them with one really, 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 maybe a fourth really, really good password. And when I say really good, I mean, that thing might be a passphrase that might be 30 characters long, right? Yeah. And but that's the one password that you commit to memory, right? That's sort of the thing. And we can do that. We can commit one really good password to memory, just like I have my, in the US, it's a social security number. You know, other places we have national ID numbers. And everyone, well, maybe not everyone, but like I have my social security number and my bride's and my, you know, a couple of my kids, I have those committed to my memory. We can commit those because they're durable, and you pick those, that password, that master password carefully, and then you can embed that into your brain. But you're not supposed to be able to embed, you know, 50 passwords into your brain that are strong and unique. So this password manager is software that you'd expect to pay money for this, but it's a tool that keeps you secure, safe and secure, much like your auto insurance is a tool that keeps you safe and secure, that sort of thing. So password manager is like my number one recommendation, my 1A recommendation, and then my number two recommendation is to see the number one recommendation.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you so much. That's been, I think passwords can feel so overwhelming for that exact reason. So
they do. They really do. Yeah.
And they don't have to be. So that's really the most important thing, really. And I think that's the same. I think the same is true of a lot of cybersecurity, and it always sounds overwhelming from the outset, but it doesn't need to be.
Yeah, they can be at the start, but these days we've all gotten way more sophisticated in our use of tooling and apps and things like that. It used to be, it wasn't that so long ago that even the idea of buying a theater ticket and using it on your phone was phenomenally complex. And these days, you know, pretty much even, you know, someone who has gray hair like me can manage that sort of thing. So
it's so true. I remember being very scared of QR codes. And now they're everywhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what are some regular habits for charity professionals to stay on top of their password management?
So the thing about password management is really the diligence, because it's staggering how many the diligence of making sure that every password you have is strong, unique, and squirreled away in your password manager, and that then you use it and you don't say, oh, well, I'm in a hurry, that sort of thing. And then because I'm in a hurry, I'm just going to take a shortcut with this one password and make this password be dumpster fire. Mm. You know, the words, you know, dumpster fire. Why? Because those are two words that are in the dictionary and it would be subject to a dictionary attack, and say, I'll go back and fix it later, because unfortunately we're all human. And so it actually kind of rolls up to a key cybersecurity principle that I talk about with our team at Public Interest Registry, which is really slow down and take your time. There's the old saying that an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. And there we're talking about weights, right? But it really could be, you know, a pence of prevention is worth, you know, 10,000 pounds of cure if we like to talk about money. Yeah. It really is important to just take your time and go slow and not cut corners with password management. That's probably the biggest thing with charity professionals, and to impress that upon their volunteers too. Mm-hmm. I would also think, at least in the United States, we have a lot of volunteers that work with charities. I would assume it's the same in the UK. Yeah. And it's so important to make sure that the charity professionals provide that guidance to their volunteers, because we see that a lot of times, not that volunteers are necessarily to blame, but you want to establish that good security culture so that it's consistent across your charity organization, I think.
Yeah, definitely. We've got a quite a good article on our website about working with volunteers and how it needs to be considered within your cybersecurity strategy, because they do have access to your systems and yeah, it's just good. I think it's another thing that you can bring everyone together on. I think in a cybersecurity is everyone's responsibility, I think, isn't it? And passwords, so true. Are another element of that. Basically.
It's such a huge element of that. Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
How would you recommend some password policies? Well, how would you develop that?
So password policies are rough because they're a moving target. So, there was there's a study that happens annually about what it takes people to do a brute force attack on passwords with commonly available tools, right? And so that's why articles about policies. About length and complexity are so difficult, because the amount of time it takes someone to brute force a password keeps going down because compute power keeps going up, right? Yeah. And so someone who comes to you, including someone just like me, and says, Laura, all you have to do is make your password X characters long with this complexity recipe and you'll be fine, right? Mm. They're lying to you at 30 frames per second, right? That sort of a thing. I think that the better policy is almost things that are going to be more difficult to enforce, right? Because a lot of times these policies, they are in the hands of the user when they're interacting with a remote site. Right. The only thing that the organization can enforce is its own passwords at its sites. Mm-hmm. If I'm at Charity Digital, what policy password do I have when I'm logging into charitydigital.co.uk, mm-hmm. right? Or .org.uk, right? So for internally, the biggest thing is using two-factor authentication, I think. And they're using an app and not something like SMS. And when mm-hmm. I say an app, I mean like Google Authenticator, Microsoft Authenticator, Symantec has an authenticator. I counted when I was prepping for this podcast, I found I have at least six authenticator apps on my phone. Now, I don't consider myself normal. I'll own that. I'll consider myself peculiar is about the most gracious word that I could bestow. But if my team were listening to this right now, they might have a couple more other words that they might. but like I've got six on my phone, right? So the only reason I say that is that we should get used to there being more than one authenticator app on our phone and get used to the idea of, oh, I've got another multi-factor authentication QR code I have to scan and put on my phone and put on my authenticator. Boom. This is how I do that. Right. So use multi-factor authentication, make sure your passwords are unique. Mm-hmm. Right. And really doing your best when you set a password to let the password manager pick the password instead of you picking the password. I literally don't pick any of my passwords anymore. I go to my password manager, let it pick the password. All I do is pick the length.
Interesting. Right.
And there's a little slider in my password manager that, and I say, and then I pick the length based on my feel of how important the password is. Mm. And since I never type these things, rarely, sometimes like into your, when you have to put them in your personal, you have to put them into your television, right? Then you're typing it, right? But for most of the ones on my computer, I never type them. I only copy and paste them. And so you can make them be 20 characters and you or I literally don't care.
Yeah.
Right. So that's another thing to realize when you have this tool of the password manager, your approach to these things changes quickly if you let it.
Yeah.
Right. Does that kind of make sense? Right?
It makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Apple, I think recently, I don't know how recently, but it seems to have come up a lot recently for me. Mm-hmm. And when you're creating a password and it has the little thing where it says, do you want to use a strong password? So you should be using the strong password.
The stuff in the keychain that Apple has done is pretty solid. I mean, mm-hmm. Now the thing there I'll say is that if your desk is purely Apple, lean into it, right? Now it doesn't give you as rich a password management ecosystem yet. Now, Apple might improve that. They're going to be making, they continually make announcements in there. They might improve that. It's not as rich as a full 1Password stuff that they have yet. The one thing I would say, and I want to draw a distinction between what Apple does at the operating system level and what browsers do in their password manager. I don't recommend that people use a browser's password manager. Right. It's like Chrome does this, and I think some of the other browsers do this, right? Here's why. Now, if you don't have any other mechanism, using a password manager in the browser is better than not using a password manager and having your passwords all be the same. Let me be very, very clear about that. But if you have an alternative where you can spend a little bit of money and get a password manager, right? The reason I don't like them being in the browser, that I prefer them being out of the browser, is that the browser has a large attack surface from a bug perspective. And therefore a compromise in the browser could expose your passwords.
Right.
That's a could. Now, to write your passwords on a piece of paper and stick them in your wallet is an actual vulnerability that is worse than using the browser. I want to be very clear, because sometimes people hear this stuff and they're like, well, they shouldn't use it. I'm going to put them on a spreadsheet and leave them on my laptop, because that guy on the podcast said, don't use the one in the browser. this is in a hierarchy, right? Like, yeah. Does that kind of make sense? I want to be very clear about that. The worst thing is to use the same password everywhere, mm-hmm. right? A better thing is to use a different password and store them somehow insecurely, mm-hmm. right? Because at least there you have physical possession of the file somehow, right? Now, if your computer gets stolen or your computer gets hacked somewhere else, you're somehow Right. Mm-hmm. So there's grades of this, right? So does that kind of make sense? This is subtle, and I should probably petition the producer for more time, right?
Yeah,
I wasn't kind of planning on getting into this, but
no, the
dedicated password manager is the better is you're moving up the chain, right?
Yeah.
But the key thing is just please don't have the same password everywhere.
That's a very clear note to end on, I think. I think that's so helpful. you're right in saying that passwords are actually so, like, there's so much more we could discuss. Thank you so much for all your insight and expertise. It's been a really interesting podcast. I'm definitely going to be picking your brains a little bit behind the scenes. We hope everyone who's listened is enjoying it too. You can find out more cybersecurity resources on the .org Learning Centre website, powered by PIR.org, and on our cybersecurity hub, where you can find on the Charity Digital website. And we've linked to it in the description below. So thank you so much for listening, and thank you, Rick.
Thank you, Laura. Appreciate the time.
We hope you enjoyed this Charity Digital podcast. The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed are those of the speakers and do not represent the views, thoughts, and opinions of Charity Digital. The material and information presented here is for general information purposes only. Thanks for listening.